The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
It's time for the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev. Let's get to it. Live once again in the city of brotherly love, none other than Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, broadcasting from and hanging out in the WWDB 860 AM studios. Yes, you heard right. You turned yourself in to another episode of the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev. Good evening, Philadelphia, Bucks County, Montgomery County, Delco, and Southwest New Jersey. But folks, you know we do not stop there. We are entering eardrums anywhere that you got access to the internet. Stream us live every Friday at 6 p.m. EST on WWDBAM.com. Catch the replay on any major podcast platform by searching for the Friday Mental Health Power Hour. By the way, my name is Evan Transu. I'm a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
And what's going on, everybody? My name is Scott Prendergast, a.k.a. Scotty P., and I help others navigate life through the lens of hope.
Awesome. So we are glad to be back in the studio again. We had a few weeks where it was like one or the other. Scott or myself was in here, and now we've had a couple weeks back together. It's fun. So tonight's topic is actually pretty simple in the concept, at least, but it's actually very big. And it's one of those things that the longer I study personal development, and I know you're super into this, right? We're constantly people who are working on ourselves. I realize how important this is, and we're talking about storytelling. So, Scott, what does that mean to you, just to kind of get this stuff kicked off?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we talk about storytelling, there's so many different ways that we could take this. Now, obviously, when we say this initially, people talk about, well, you're telling a story. Well, yeah, obviously, that's a big part of it. But what we really want to dive in today is, what are the stories that we're telling ourselves on a daily basis? So when I wake up in the morning, when I fail a test, when I'm going out on a date, when I'm doing work in the office, whatever it might be, what are the stories that are constantly in your mind that you're repeating to yourself on a daily basis? Now, these stories sometimes come from past experiences. They come from thoughts that maybe were pushed onto you from other people, things that people have said, whatever it is. These stories come from different places, but a lot of times we're not totally mindful about what that story is. And if we're not mindful of it, next thing you know, we could be telling ourselves a story that is not true at all, but yet we believe it's true, if that makes sense. And that's a dangerous thing, because obviously, if we're telling ourselves something that's not true, it's going to skew how we view everything else. So that's really what we're going to be talking about today, is kind of identifying storytelling, giving examples of it, talking about what it is, how we can change it, and how we can learn to tell ourselves the type of stories that we really want to see take fruition into our lives, and also stay away from those stories that are going to lead us down the road to, you know, potentially being vulnerable to depression or other mental health issues, whatever it might be.
Sure. And I feel like the people who would even listen to a show like this and have gotten this far in with, 20 something episodes, whatever it's been, they kind of get this, right? Because it's so easy to dismiss this and to be like, all right, does this actually matter? And it's so sad, because the people who are the first to dismiss it, ironically, are usually the ones that actually need this the most. Because what's happening with the stories, I really find, and I could be oversimplifying this, but I have found the key to so many good things in my life is just increased self-awareness over time. Now, of course, you have to take actions on that self-awareness. You could be very aware and not be able to take action. You might feel debilitated still and feel like you can't do anything. So that's not necessarily the only step. But what I find is that most of us walk around on autopilot for years and years and years. So you don't even realize the stories that you're telling yourself. And it's never to justify anything or say that I couldn't have done something different. But from my experience, and as someone who's doing well now, so it's like I feel like I can say this fairly, when I was using drugs like every day for pretty much 2 years straight, you know, I don't know how to describe this. I was never really thinking about what I was doing or what I was telling myself. Because I think if you are thinking, you wouldn't be doing that every single day, right?
Sure.
Certainly you're not thinking long enough, right? And you don't know what am I telling myself every day? What am I self-conscious about? What am I thinking people are judging me for? Mm-hmm. It's really a lot of stuff. And so the more self-aware we can become, because I think this has, I keep mentioning self-awareness because I think it has a lot to do with storytelling.
Absolutely.
You can't identify the stories until you're self-aware enough to realize or hear the story, I guess, you know what I mean? And so we can end up with some really bad things. And I think this is where, if you read like the classic self-help books, like the limiting beliefs and the positive mental attitude and that stuff comes in, but it matters. We have things in our heads that we're running all day long. They are either good or bad. And I promise you, the people who are most successful in life, and that's not some financial thing, right? Success could be the mom who wants to stay at home with her kids and has a great life doing that. You know, it's not about a financial number. It could be playing sports until your 70s. You wanted to be fit, right? That can be success for you too. But the successful people, generally speaking, have better stories and more positive stories in their minds. That's what I found, at least. Oversimplification, sure, but I think it's an important step.
No, I think it's so important to the point that it's something that a lot of us miss. And like anything in life, if you try to skip certain steps in anything, that's when you get into trouble, you get tied up, and you get into a position where you're really going to be vulnerable to a lot of different things. So if we're not being self-aware of what's going on with ourselves, we're going to just really set ourselves up for a whole lot of failure. And one of the things that I want to go on here, and we'll talk about this more in probably part two or part three, but I want to introduce it, plant the seed of this idea right now, is talking about interrupting that autopilot feature in our head up here. Now, we're going through all the day, and as Evan was just saying, so many of us, sometimes for years, sometimes, I hate to say it, for lifetimes and generations, people are just on autopilot. Oh, you know, today was, you know, it's not good, it's not bad, I'm just getting by, blah, 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 blah. You hear people say this stuff all the time. That's fine. Here on the Scotty P&F Show, we think that's okay to talk like that if you want, but we want to show you a way that you can get past just surviving and instead thriving and really living. Because I think when you're on the autopilot mentality, you're not really getting the most out of life. You're not getting the most out of yourself. You're not getting really anything that you want. You're just there. You're just existing. And for some people, if that's what you want out of life, that's totally fine. But what I hear a lot with the people I speak about is, hey, how do I get to a point where maybe things aren't going well for me, but I still feel a little happiness? Or maybe not everything's perfect like I thought it would be when I was 16, but I want to still be happy. I want to have that success, whether I'm a stay-at-home mom, whether I'm making billions. I want to feel successful. I want to feel validated. I want to feel okay about myself. Now, we do this through interrupting that autopilot belief. And that, I just wanted to plant the seed real quick because I want to, you know, get everybody enticed for later in it. But we're going to talk about how to actually do that later in the show when we bring up some strategies. But it is so incredibly important. And the first step to doing that, my friends, is just being self-aware of what's going on in between the ears up here.
Right. I like that you're going to share something to break that kind of autopilot cycle. Have you, in your listenings and studies or whatever, have you ever heard of Earl Nightingale? You ever crossed
him? Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Awesome. Great guy, right? And he actually was a radio show host, which is funny. He did a lot of personal development stuff. Mm-hmm. And his content's still available on YouTube. I mean, if you need something good, I highly suggest go searching Earl Nightingale for sure. But I thought about this because you just brought up autopilot, and I was listening to him this morning on the way to work. And what, I don't even like calling it that. I was on the way to speaking. It's not work. So that's what I was on my way to
there
do.
There you go.
And I was listening to him, and he was talking about, he was talking strictly from financials, because yes, that's a version of success. Yeah, it's totally fine. But you know what I'm getting at. Some people are like, oh, well, that's not just success. No one is suggesting
no
here
one's
on the
saying
show
that on
that
the Scotty P&F show is success. Not
yeah,
at all.
If you don't have your mental health, man, and physical health, in my case, you know, no, not much else matters. It doesn't matter if you have all the money in the world. But he was talking about how, you know, all these people, and because of the time, he was more specific to men. He's like, all these young men, 25 years old, if you ask them if they want to be successful, every single one says yes, right? They're all hyped up and all energetic. And he said, the statistics show, though, by the time they're 65, only one will really actually be wealthy. You know, many will be relying on the government for money, and most won't have any money in retirement and stuff like that. Yeah. So he's like, what happens in between now and then? And he talked about this autopilot thing. They did a survey on, you know, and they found that about 19 out of 20 people, so it was like 95%, when asked why do they go to work every day, just say, well, like the more or less the answer was they don't know. It's because, well, everyone else does it. Well, I, what do you mean? Everyone goes to work. Like, I have to do this, right? Isn't that what you, this is the point of life, right? Is to just go to work. And then what he was saying is like that 5% that really knew why they were going or what they were doing it for, it's kind of funny how that correlates with the other number, which was about 5% of men. Again, that's what he was specifying at the time, at the age of 65, were financially successful. They were able to live off the fruit of what they did, you know? So it's kind of interesting. Yeah, if you're just running on autopilot every day, I'm going to this job just because. I think that's one of the biggest, saddest, I should say, things in our world today, because it's so easy to be on autopilot. Yeah. We wake up, the first thing we have is the phone. Now you got to distract yourself there. You listen to music. I'm not saying music's bad, but you listen to that and you're singing along in the car. You never had time to think. You're at work getting yelled at by your boss, checking social media probably all day, stimulated on the computer. You drive home, do the same thing. Now you're talking to your family the rest of the night, which again, not an inherently bad thing, but a distraction nonetheless.
Oh, yeah.
You watch TV or look at that phone until the time you go to bed. You wake up the next day. So when did you have the chance minutes to analyze what the hell you're doing. You know what I mean? You never even got to think about it, and you're constantly on autopilot. So I'm excited to hear what tip you have for, in whether part two or three, for people to kind of break that cycle.
Absolutely. And the thing that is so interesting about all of this is that a lot of times the problem is that we don't view our quote-unquote distractions like we were just talking about. We don't think they're distractions. We think, oh, this is good for me. This is helping me. This is helping me further my career or further this or that. And initially, possibly, yeah. However, in the long term, you're really distracting yourself from doing some of that work on the inside that really needs to be done. And I'm a true believer, and I know, Ev, you're on the same lines with this, that on the inside, that work that has to be done there, that's what gets you the true results on the outside. And we could sit here all day and say, oh, I'm doing this in my life, I'm doing that in my life, I'm networking here, I'm doing here, I'm taking on 45,000 different jobs, you know, whatever it is. But if you don't have things right on the inside, then how are we ever going to be who we truly want to be? And if we're not who we truly want to be, how can we get what we truly want to get? We can't. Short story there, right? You know? So what we need to be able to do is identify some of those distractions and say, hey, you know what? I love checking social media 40 million times a day, but maybe, just maybe, it's a distraction for me trying to find out what's really going on in my life and how I'm truly feeling about myself. And maybe if we dive in and to do some of that work, now we're going to see some of our relationships improve. Maybe our work improves because we identified, hey, you know what? I found that I have this overwhelming feeling of inferiority. And because I dove into that, now I want to find out where that's coming from. And we figure that out. So now, instead of distracting ourselves constantly with some random thing, instead, we've identified an issue, we've worked on it, and we feel just that much happier.
Right? I think, I do have time for it real quick. So Earl Nightingale, actually good to go back to him. The reason he suggested this exercise I'm about to tell people about, and I was just talking to Maddie about it the other day, my girlfriend, it's really cool. And I didn't even have to do it long to get like incredible results. And most people be like, well, I don't have the time. I'm like, I'm sure you have the time. Everyone has the time, right? You don't have the time for this maybe, but you have time. So right, you figure it out. Earl Nightingale would talk about only 5 days a week. He asked for this, not even the weekends. You take your weekends off, right? So 4 or 5 days of the week, an hour a day, all you're doing is sitting with yourself in front of a piece of paper with a pencil. You try to come up with 20 ideas for either how to progress right now or how to solve a certain problem that's going on in your life, something like that. Mm-hmm. You will be amazed what happens when you just sit with yourself. So this is not on Instagram and you have, you know, the whole paper, right? By yourself thinking. The human mind has an amazing ability to figure things out, right? But we got to give it a chance and actually sit with it. So, hey, sure. We will talk about some negative stories that we dealt with and then solutions to either break that autopilot cycle or create more positive stories right after these quick commercial breaks.
Hey everyone, Eric Katz here, the owner of Katz Dogs Canine. Are you working from home and need to get your dog out running around for the day? Will you be traveling this summer and looking for a place to board your pup? Is your dog looking a little shaggy and need a haircut or bath? Are you looking forward to walking around and enjoying this beautiful weather, but you can't because your dog's pulling like a freight train? Well, you're in luck. We are a one-stop shop that focuses on daycare, boarding, grooming, and training. We are located at 35 Middle Road, Percocet, PA, on 10 beautiful acres. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Katz Dogs Canine or our website, katzdogscanine.com. Our phone number is 855-CATS-DOG, 855-528-9364.
If you're a parent who wants to understand the mental health challenges your child faces, then my book, My Perfect Life, How Depression Almost Ended It and How I Found Purpose Through Pain, is for you. Through goofy, relatable stories, you'll see the world from the eyes of someone silently battling depression. Most importantly, you'll learn how we can find hope and purpose through pain. Get your copy of My Perfect Life today. Available on Amazon by searching Lucas Wolf, My Perfect Life. And that's Wolf with an E.
Tired of talk radio shows that are nothing but Trump, Trump, and more Trump? Looking for something that actually has some relevance to your life? Then tune into The Pennsylvania Project. Hi, I'm Ken Krawchuk, host of The Pennsylvania Project. Our mission is to showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania, and we're all about solutions. So tune in Mondays, 3 p.m. here on WWDB, 860 a.m. in Philadelphia. When the problem is same old talk radio, the correct solution is The Pennsylvania Project.
Hey folks, what's going on? It's Evan Transu, aka Ev here. I just wanted to shout out my friends at FDN Thrive. Part of my story with mental health is that I was actually able to get a hold of a lot of my mental and physical health issues by addressing what was going on in my body. So I do mean more of a natural slash functional medicine side. Is this going to be for everyone? Absolutely not. But if you're someone like me who suffered for years and maybe a lot of the conventional things didn't work out, you might want to consider what is going on in your body and see if that is playing any role. So if you want to focus on something more objective, get some lab results, and actually have these lab results analyzed by practitioners who are trained in this specific modality, then go to fdnthrive.com and click the Get Started Here button. That's fdnthrive.com and click the Get Started Here button. And we are back. Welcome to the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev, where we are talking all things mental health all of the time. Tonight's topic is the stories we tell ourselves. And yes, simple topic, sure, but my gosh, if you get it, it's a pretty profound effect on your life. So by the way, my name is Evan Transu, a.k.a. Ev, and I'm a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
And what's going on, everybody? My name is Scott Prendergast, a.k.a. Scotty P. I'm a professional inspirational speaker who helps others navigate life through the lens of hope.
Cool. So in part two, we always typically talk about the topic of the day, of course, but how it maybe negatively affected us and how it wasn't so great. And I definitely had some not so great stories going through my head at one point in my life. I'll start this one off. That's cool with you?
Absolutely.
Cool. So yeah, just to kind of go back to part one, in a sense, I want to reference that. There are stories that are running through our head at all times per the day. That never is not the case, right? Unless you have truly mastered mindfulness meditation and you're on some monastery, which I'm not joking. That is a real thing. I've been to those retreats. People do that. You have stories running through your head at all times of the day. Most of us do not have the ability or time to go be monks that live in monasteries for the rest of our lives. So we have to deal with this. So how do we change the stories? How do we make them better? And I think one of the biggest problems for me, and again, this is more part three stuff, but we'll talk about how to become more self-aware, or Scott's going to talk about how to break that autopilot cycle. Because I think the scariest thing with the stories, it's one thing to know we're telling ourselves a bunch of crap and be able to kind of get that better. Sure. It's really bad when we don't even realize there's negative stuff running through our minds, but that's affecting our lives every day. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people who chronically abuse drugs or have real problems with it. I never want to justify anything, but it's so tough for me looking back because I'm like, you know, people will ask, even like family members, like, well, how did you stay on drugs for 2 years every day? I'm like, I don't know. You know, they're like, well, what were you thinking? I wasn't, right? Like, I wasn't thinking. It was just thinking 10 minutes ahead, basically, instead of 10 years ahead. That's what I always say in the presentations and stuff. Because if you're thinking 10 years ahead, you wouldn't use drugs every single day. Okay. And so I think what happens then is, like, we're telling ourselves these bad stories. I have all this stuff going through my mind, especially related to mental health. Oh my gosh, dude, I'm weird. I can't tell anyone about this. I always thought I was crazy. That's really the word that I used. I'm not just being, you know, dramatic or something. I actually believed I was crazy because I didn't understand mental health. And especially with things like panic attacks, I think most people listening to the show would probably have an idea of what that is. Oh, yeah. Man, if you've never dealt with that, if you've never heard of that, and all of a sudden you have that happen to you for the first time, Scott and I have both been through plenty of them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I at least can understand how someone might use the word crazy. You feel crazy. You're like, dude, I just thought I was going to die for like 20 minutes. I came out of nowhere. And now, yes, I'm exhausted, but I actually feel kind of fine and I'm back to normal. So yeah, what else do you call that, right? Like, you know, it can be tough in that sense sometimes. So I'm having these stories about judging myself for these mental health issues, or, oh my gosh, when we're in high school, and some people carry this farther than that. I'm sure I did myself. We're worried about what everyone else thinks too.
You
know, it's like, oh my God, dude, I'm too skinny. Oh my God, like I have a pimple today. Oh my God, you know, I'm not tall enough. Like whatever it might be, dude. Like we're just, there's always something that we can find ourselves comparing ourselves to others with. And these are all part of those negative stories. So what happens to most people, I think, especially if we're stuck in that autopilot, I really challenge you, if you're listening to this show, I would assume if you even have the ability to listen to this, you probably are already breaking that autopilot. So congratulations, right? You're going out of your way to listening to something positive. I mean, heck, if you're listening to this live, you're really doing that because you're doing it on a Friday night. but if you listen to the recording, you're still doing that. You're taking time away from your day to say, hey, I want to consciously grow and learn. You have to be breaking some cycle by definition, right? So do yourself a favor. Don't try to change the thoughts. Don't try to manipulate them, but just be conscious over the next few weeks or few days even, what runs through your mind on a daily basis? And catch yourself in times when it's subconscious. Are you driving a car? Watch what goes through your mind when you're driving a car. It's nuts sometimes, man. It's like, wow, I can't believe what I'm saying to myself right now. Yeah. The worst times I found were the times that were in these habitual type of things. And school's a wonderful thing. We need that for kids, absolutely, for sure. Right? But it is creating a life for them that is so habit forming, like every day we just wake up and do the same thing. Then we have the homework, then we play the video games, then we text our friends, whatever. There is no time to think. And I think that's why a lot of kids, and I will only speak about that because obviously I talk to kids a lot. I think they end up with a lot of negative stuff. And I'm sure this translates over to adulthood. Most adults are not much different with the habits. They go to work, right? They go home, they cook the dinner, whatever it might be. So that to me, I guess that's a mix of part two and three, because normally three is when we give the tips. And I guess that's a tip to a degree. But just being conscious of this stuff to figure out if you have a problem with the negative self-talk. And you do. So, you know, that's a good way to kind of do that. So what, you have anything to add to that, I'm sure?
Yeah, I think when we're talking about these stories here, and when I think back on myself over the years, and not that I'm out of it, because I still do with this as well, but I'm aware of it now. For me, it was kind of like this. I always told myself stories that I assumed other people were telling themselves about me. So I'll say that again. I always told myself stories that I assumed that other people were telling themselves about me. So what essentially I was trying to do is I was trying to think what other people were thinking about me and judge my perception of myself based on that. Now, I know that's a little trippy. You may have to rewind that in slow motion and play it backwards to understand it a little bit better. But if you do that, let me know what you think, okay? But essentially what I'm saying here is that I was trying to get inside other people's heads. Now, the reason that I was doing this is because comparison was my normal. All I ever did for many years was just compare myself to a standard held by somebody else. I never compared myself to my own standard because I never even thought that was a thing. Now, that's all I do. I try not to compare myself. I still fall into the trap now and again, as we all do. It's called being human, dog. It happens. But now I try to compare myself to the former Scott rather than, you know, Dave or Tom or Willie or Janie. I try to compare myself to what I've been through and where I have been, as opposed to where someone else is going through. Now, I think the thing about it, when I look back on it too, is that this comparison in my life was the driving factor. I was always comparing, you know, who's got better grades, who's got more girls, who's better at sports, who's got this, that, you know, insert whatever you want there. But I was constantly using that as my measuring stick for my life's success, was this comparison, how I measured up to everyone else. And that is such a toxic way to live life. And you know the thing that makes me really upset about it, Ev, is that I see so many people now as a grown adult at 25, so many people I'm surrounded with who still live their life like this every single day. People are going out of their way to do certain things only because they want to compare with something that they've seen or something that they've heard or something that somebody else has said. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that that's bad all the time. I think sometimes maybe it's healthy, but I think a lot of times it really gets us away from finding out who we truly are, finding out what we truly want, and finding out what really makes us unique and special people that we are. And a lot of times, if you don't find that out about yourself, you're always going to assume that you're not good enough, that you're too much of this, you're too much of that. And when we get stuck in that negative self-talk over and over and over and over again, that's really a vicious cycle to be in. And it's only going to lead to being exposed to a lot of other difficult things. Now, I'm not going to sit here and name facts because I don't know the facts per se, but I would assume that a lot of people who turn to substances, drugs, alcohol, and a lot of other things, the reason that they're doing this is because that negative self-talk makes them feel like they are not enough in some type of way of their life. Whatever that negative coping skill is, I can guarantee you at some point it started because that negative self-talk wasn't where it should be. And you know why that negative self-talk wasn't where it should be? It was because comparison was the forefront of that person's mind rather than celebrating who they actually are.
Wow, that's so well said, because I feel like that's, in terms of stories we tell ourselves, that's like one of the main ones. And it stinks because we've talked about actually this on the show before. We are biologically wired to compare ourselves to other people. And it's such a shame because human beings have things that were put in us that worked really well when we had smaller communities. Maybe there's something called Dunbar's number, which shows we would have had maybe communities around 150. I'm kind of oversimplifying what Dunbar's number is, but that's about it. 150 people. That's not a lot of people, man, that you're interacting with. We can go see 150 people in a minute now on social media easily just by scrolling fast enough, right? Maybe 2 minutes tops.
Yeah.
Or we walk down the street in the middle of the city because we're in Philly right now. I could see thousands of people in a matter of minutes. And that's great. It's beautiful that we have that ability and it's cool. But we have things that weren't made for that level of exposure that really start to affect us. Because yes, comparing yourself to others, and I hate to sound so biological because Scott and I are both spiritual people, right? We believe in something higher. But the truth of the matter is, like, there is an evolutionary thing here. We do still operate biologically here. Yeah. You know, that's why you want to kiss people and stuff like that, guys. It is a thing that we have.
True.
And so in the tribal days, we would have compared ourselves to others to honestly try to make ourselves the best mate. Again, just from the biological perspective, right? There's more to life than that, but it might have been a little more achievable when there's 150 people. When we can see a billion different people on TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, whatever, there is no possible way, well, I shouldn't say no possible way, a very slim chance, like probably one in a billion, that you are going to be the hottest or the tallest or the strongest or whatever, right? So it's so easy to have this natural inclination to compare ourselves to others, create these stories that we're constantly running in our mind. And like you said, I mean, I think it's really creating that awareness, because if you don't do this, I think you're a liar. I mean, there's really no way that you can just say, oh, I don't compare myself to others. I don't think... Yeah. Maybe people don't mean it this way when they say it, but I'm like, how can you not have that? That's just saying, like, you don't breathe. I mean, that's just something that we have as human beings, right? So there's people that do that, then there's some lies out there. But there is a difference, though, between having it and acting on it. Mm-hmm. And if you have that awareness, if you understand that you're doing things to compare yourselves to others, then you can make a choice based on this. All right, did I do this because I actually want to do this, because I care about this? Is it benefiting me? Or am I doing this because I want to show off to this person or do something for that reason, you know? And maybe there's a healthy dose of that, right? I don't think showing off, I mean, that's probably not what I'm getting at, but like, there's probably a healthy level of comparing ourselves to others and running those stories so that we don't become nothing, right? We want to move up in life, but it's a fine balance, man. We don't want to go too far one way or the other, because on one end, we can end up doing nothing with our lives. On the other end, we can spend until the day we die comparing ourselves to others and running those negative stories. And all you ever have to do is, you mentioned this in the beginning, it's not always true for people that are older, but typically 70, 80, 90-year-old people, go talk to them for a little bit. They're like, I stopped caring what people think decades ago, right? Because they realize how stupid it is. You know, they just got over that type of thing. They didn't let that dictate their actions anymore. And so you have these older people sometimes that are really happy, because I don't think they're having as many of those negative stories. They've accepted certain things of life. So I think that's such a great example, because I would imagine, I could be projecting here because I know it was true for me. I would imagine, though, the majority of negative stories that we have, assuming they're not like trauma-induced, probably involve comparing ourselves to other people all day long.
It really is. It's just a habit. And we've talked about on this show so many different times how habits are very difficult to break, and it's a process. And if we're not careful, the deeper you fall into that habit, man, that's a barrier to get out of. So we want to make sure we identify it before we get to that. And going off of what Evan was talking about, what I mentioned earlier, what I think a lot of times happen, and I catch myself doing this multiple times, and I become really good at being aware of it, but I still have it from time to time. So maybe this will help someone else who's struggling with this as well. I call it a zoomed in mentality. Zoomed in mentality. And what I mean by that is that I almost kind of imagine like our life is this, I say this a lot, but I think it's a great thing. It's like a brick house. You know, I just thinking of that, and each individual brick has a story to tell. You know, I talk about this in other episodes. You could check it out and see me go in depth on that. But if we're going with that logic, if we're looking at this house, there's so many different bricks. Each one represents a different life experience. Now, what happens if you're only looking at one little corner of bricks in this house, and that's it, and you're only looking at a few experiences you've had in your life? What happens if all you ever tell yourself is about that one time when something didn't go right? What happens if all you ever tell yourself is all the times that people said you were too much of this, that you were not enough of that, that you couldn't do this, that you were this or that? If you're only looking at that all the time, you're zoomed in on a few experiences in your life and nothing more. And if that's all you're looking at, then guess what? You're going to start to tell yourself that, oh man, I guess I really am nothing. I guess I really don't matter. And that's just going to become habitually over and over and over again, your mindset and the story you tell ourselves. Now, I think what we can do is that the next time we start to see some of that negative self-talk bombard us, we've got to learn to interrupt that. And I don't want to talk about that too much because I want to save it for part three. So I'll change with my phrase here. We want to learn to combat it. How about that? When that negative self-talk comes about, we ask ourselves, okay, wait a minute. Is this valid right now? Is this absolutely true? Is this something that's going to help me in any way? And just by pausing that little bit, I think it really gives us some time to just zoom out a little bit and say, hey, man, hold up a second here. You know, because Tommy told me I was this and second grade, does that really mean that's still what I am now at 20? I mean, obviously not. But if we're not zooming out and taking a step back, gaining a little perspective, we're really going to believe that. And that story is going to also just play over and over and over again based off of that. So obviously, this is not as easy as said than it is. Or excuse me, it's not as easy done as said. Whatever it is Friday. You know what I'm trying to say. It's not as easy said as done. Whatever it is. Okay. But what we need to understand is that life is a mixture of experiences. It's a beautiful mosaic, but even in the most beautiful mosaics, if you're looking at a one individual piece, it doesn't amount to much. It doesn't look like really anything, right? It's when you see all the others together that you see the beauty that it makes. Now, that is the same way as your life. You know, you have good experiences, you have bad experiences, and together they create you, this magical, amazing human that has done so many great things in this world. But you got to remember that too. And you got to remember there's so much more to you than just those few bad experiences.
I'm going to throw something back to you really quick, and I'll share one myself, I guess. What do you think one of the, just to be honest here, like, what do you think one of the worst stories you ever told yourself was?
One of the worst stories, real quickly, I think for me, was just that it was very simple. It was just that I was never enough. Mm-hmm. I told myself over and over and over again in so many different aspects of my life that I'm never enough. I'll never be enough for this person. I'll never be enough of that. I'll never be enough of this. And I took that narrative and I applied it to almost every aspect of my life pretty much to the point where I believed as a whole, Scott, you're never enough. And it took me years to break that. And I'm happy to say I'm out of that now. I don't think like that at all anymore. But when I look back on it, I'm able to say, hey, man, you know what? It was because I was so zoomed in on those stories and I didn't see anything else besides that.
Well, that's interesting because I feel like, I don't know what I'd say my worst is. I probably should have had an answer for that.
That's okay.
You know, like, it's kind of tough to think about. But I'd say at least it was conceptually similar. I don't know if I was ever saying the exact words of like never enough, but I had these almost unachievable standards to get certain things in life. And I think this does, I mean, the exact same thing of never enough, right? I'm not just inherently worth it as Evan Trance or as Scott Prendergast, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're kind of saying here.
Yeah.
We need some type of objective thing and then we're worth it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of tough because admittedly, I hit some of those objective standards and then I started realizing, oh, well, I don't need to be that to, you know, be enough or whatever. So it's like, did I really achieve it or like overcome that thought? I'm not sure, right?
Right.
But at the very least, I became aware of it and kind of started understanding, all right, there's more to it than this. And I think perhaps for both of us, I'm not sure, but I know that we love the speaking and that's something we do as a passion, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean just because you do something as a passion, you can't also be subject to maybe tying your ego or identity to that. And I feel like the pandemic in the beginning was such a fantastic experience. It was hard, but it was fantastic for me in a way, because when that got stripped for a little bit, and there was a time period, I don't know about you, like, I'm like, wow, this might not come back like at all. Like, I thought it was gonna be years.
Yeah.
I'm realizing, wow, I placed too much of Evan Transu as the speaker. It is okay to be the speaker. That's wonderful. I cannot put so much of my happiness and identity in this and my worth in this that the minute it's taken away, all of a sudden I'm not worth anything. That's silly, right? That is absolutely silly. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people probably do this never enough thing in different ways, right? And this has to do with the comparison to other people. I don't know. It's so tough to think about, like, you know, what makes you inherently just worth it, right? Because we still have to meet certain societal standards. No one's really, isn't it true that someone probably wouldn't want someone that's doing nothing with their life? Yeah. We got to meet certain standards. But guys, you don't have to be exceptional to be wanted, desired, or loved. That's ridiculous, right? I don't think anyone needs to achieve those types of things. And I think that's maybe what you're getting at, where we were pushing for is, we got to be exceptional to be enough. And what happens is you hit that and then you still have the same problem. So you kind of realize at some point this has to end. You know, there's always someone else to compete with or somewhere to go higher to. You're never going to be at the top necessarily. There's only one person that can do that. So if you're always shooting for some standard, you're probably never going to hit it, or it's just going to change. It's a target that you never hit, right?
Yeah. And I think a lot of this comes to the fact that so often we're searching for our validation in lives in the wrong places. We're searching for validation in circumstances, in possessions, and a lot of different other things, rather than realizing that we don't need validation from anything or anyone else, because just being who we are is enough validation. But you say that to someone, they're like, yeah, you know, I agree with that. And then they go home and they're like, well, I'm looking to buy a brand new Bentley because I got to go do this or that, you know, whatever it is, right? So again, it's something that is so simple, yet it goes over a lot of our heads. And because it's so simple, we think that there's no possible way that thinking that way could actually help me out and change my life, when in reality, it can. And I think a lot of the best things in life are some of the most simple things that we think that we get too creative for. We think we're too advanced for. But if we really hone in on those basic skills, I think it's going to make a big difference. So I think for anybody watching, ask yourself, where am I looking for the validation in my life? Am I looking for it in my job, like Evan was talking about, that we did a lot of times? Am I looking for it in a relationship? Am I looking for it in status, in this or that, in fame? Is that where I'm looking for my validation? Or am I looking for validation maybe on the inside? And do I realize that I already have it and that I'm enough how I am right now today? Do I know that, or am I searching for it? Because the fact is, we might be searching for something that we already have. And if we already have it, that means we're not going to find it in anything else, which is going to lead to this constant disappointment. And when we have this constant disappointment, it's going to lead to more negative self-talk, which again, like many things, brings us back to that very dangerous place where we become vulnerable to a lot of different things.
Yeah. I looked at Maddie. Well, I obviously didn't get a Bentley, but I did get a nice new car. I just got it. And
wait, you got a new car?
Yeah, I just got it.
So, I'll have to see that later.
But that's the thing. It's like... That for me, okay, I know why I got that primarily, right? Because this is going to sound like it won't even make sense on air, but you'll get it a little more. It's for health benefits, and I'll explain that when we're outside, and you'll kind of get it's just to have stuff, man. Just let me go, right?
Health
and
coach, Jeff, baby.
And I know that, but the byproduct of it is like, yeah, for me, it's just so funny because I've been thinking, it's literally only been like 24, 36 hours, and I keep thinking immediately, like, I liked my little Chevy Cruze in a sense, right? Because no one, you're not, you can just play this competition game forever because it's a nicer car to a degree, but then it's like, then the 6 Series BMW drives down next to you. You know, you're like, all right, well, here we go, right? And I never, ever, ever want that, you know? So it's always separating it. There is a healthy dose. Yeah, shoot for something more because that means you've improved your income. You've probably improved your family's finances if you're getting to that high level. It's good, but you got to keep yourself in check. And I remember when I was selling cars like 8 years ago, I went in and I wanted to get a Mustang right away. Dude, I got like 2 paychecks from the damn place, right? Like I was already trying to buy this. That was in the wrong place, you know? That had nothing to do with anything. I didn't know anything about the health benefits at that time. I just wanted to drive a fast car and look cool, right? So we got to balance that type of stuff. And we will talk about some solutions to the stories that we tell ourselves right after these quick commercial breaks. Hey guys, it's Ev here. For those that don't know, I'm also in the functional medicine space outside of this work that we do with mental health. I kind of overlap those two things together. And because of this, I wanted to let you know about the Spring Holistic Expo hosted by the Children's Health Defense in Plymouth Meeting on this Saturday, April 2nd. It's not this Saturday, but this upcoming April 2nd. It is a Saturday. If you're interested in natural or functional medicine, I think you're going to love this event. The topics there include, but are not even close to limited to, plant medicine, natural household cleaning products, aeroponics and homeopathy. I'll be focusing on light therapy and how this can be used from the sun or certain devices to greatly support our mental and physical health. I'm hosting a workshop there for about an hour. I'll be doing a quick 20-minute talk at one point, and you can also check myself and my girlfriend out at our booth. So see us at the Church on the Mall in Plymouth Meeting. That's the Church on the Mall in Plymouth Meeting. Tickets are available for only $15 at springholisticexpo.com. That'll give you access all day. That's springholisticexpo.com. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on Saturday, April 2nd.
Find Yourself Boxes was created to foster the connection between a person and those in life who may be working through mental health challenges by providing curated and customizable boxes filled with research-backed wellness products that promote healing. Coupling personal experience with professional mental health guidance, Find Yourself Boxes meets people where they are on their journey. Wellness doesn't look the same for every person, and these products are packaged together to touch various aspects of our wellness spectrum. Find your healing with Find Yourself Boxes at findyourselfboxes.com, and you can get 20% off your first purchase. Does the pandemic have your hair looking a little funky? Are people stopping and staring and glancing at you as you walk down the street? Folks, come on now. Hair salons, they've been open for a while. It's time to get your hair cut. You've definitely been procrastinating. I know my producer has. And when you do it, you should head to Hair and Visions in Ottsville, PA. Hair and Visions is open Tuesday through Saturday. They specialize in coloring and also offer keratin treatments that give your hair a smooth finish. Hair and Visions offers haircuts for all ages, so you can bring the whole family. Schedule your appointment today by calling 610-847-8894. Again, that is 610-847-8894. And tell them that Scotty P and Health Coach Ev sent you.
If you're looking to get more TMS, ketamine, and Spravato patients, then 7-Figure Psych is for you. Beyond Marketing's flagship 7-Figure Psych business development and marketing system helps mental health professionals to attract, schedule, and convert new patients into care. Join a community of like-minded business professionals and automate your entire online presence. Visit these guys at 7figurepsych.com. That's the number 7figurepsych.com. Guys, cancer is a word that most of us know all too well. And as is the case for so many other conditions, Western medicine is a miraculous yet incomplete form of treatment for those who are suffering. But what if there was a place in our community that helped meet the many other needs for cancer patients? Well, that's exactly what my aunt, Corinne Sikora, envisioned. And now you can help make that vision come to life. The Corinne Sikora Wellness and Support Center is designed to be a comforting space for all cancer patients across Bucks County. This center will help these individuals meet their emotional, social, physical, and lifestyle needs that are essential pieces of one's healing journey. Because of people like you, this center will be able to offer a multitude of completely free services to local patients and their families. A large vision like this needs all the support it can get, and you can help today. Go to CorinneSikoraCenter.org and click the donate button. That is CorinneSikora, CorinneSikoraCenter.org, and click the donate button. And we are back. Welcome to the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev, where we're talking all things mental health all of the time. This week's topic is the stories we tell ourselves and how they affect our mental health. So part one is always the describing of the topic. Part two is kind of where this affected us negatively. And then part three, always our favorite part. It's what practical tips we learned, things that you can apply to your life literally today to help with this particular thing. By the way, my name is Evan Transu, a.k.a. Ev, and I'm a professional speaker in the youth mental health space.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Scott Prendergast, a.k.a. Scotty P., and I'm a professional inspirational speaker who helps others navigate life through the lens of hope.
All right, my friend, I believe I started off the last one. So if you would like to start off this one, and people have been waiting for how the heck do we break autopilot? So you got to tell us.
Absolutely. So we love this third part of the show because we think this is the most listener based. This is where you, the listener, can say, all right, I'm hunkering down. I'm listening for the next couple minutes here. I'm taking these strategies and I'm applying it to my life right here, right now, today, before I get my weekend started and start doing whatever. So if you were listening to the show earlier today, I talked about how do we interrupt the autopilot of our lives, meaning that constant just blah thinking that is just there and we can't seem to get past it. So there's a lot of different ways we can do this, but I think one of the most simple ones, but probably one of the most effective, is as followed. Now let's think about it. If you're an autopilot and your mind is just going, you need something that's going to boom, interrupt it very quickly. Something that's going to kind of snap you out of that and get you back into your free-flowing thinking in a way that's creative and in a way that's very self-aware. Now, how would we do that? Well, the first step is kind of making checkpoints. It's as if you were, imagine you're literally flying a plane. At some point, I've never been a pilot, but I would assume you'd say, okay, I'm flying over the Atlantic now. That's a checkpoint. Oh, I'm flying over Europe now. That's a checkpoint. You're making little checkpoints to keep yourself kind of in touch with what's going on. It's the same thing in our minds. Let's say, okay, we're going throughout our day. We're in the morning. Let's make a checkpoint as soon as we start driving our car. Let's say, hey, for the past hour that I've been up, what have I been thinking about? What thoughts are on my mind? That's checkpoint number one. I don't necessarily have to write it down, but I'm becoming aware of it, okay? So I'm starting my day, finding that one little checkpoint to disrupt that autopilot thinking a little bit. Now you go throughout your day, you spend a couple more hours. Maybe your next checkpoint is when you leave work at 4 or 5 o'clock. Okay, here's another checkpoint. What thoughts was I thinking about during work? Were they good? Were they bad? Were they helpful? Were they sad? Were they disruptive? What were these thoughts? Why was I thinking them? And you don't necessarily have to write a paragraph and make a bibliography for it too for the answer. No, absolutely not. But just get those words out there, get familiar with that type of language and becoming aware of it. And when you do this, now all of a sudden you're building a little bit of a pattern in your mind to remind yourself, hey, I got to do checkpoints throughout the day. Then maybe you do a checkpoint right before bed. I don't know, whatever you're comfortable with. And you think about, again, what have I been thinking about today? How have I been feeling? What happened to make me feel that way? So this is what we can best do on a most simple level to just work on interrupting that autopilot thinking, getting ourselves back on track to a point where we could say, hey, I'm becoming aware now of what was going on today. So that's probably the simplest, but also one of the most effective ways we can do it by interrupting that autopilot thinking. And it's something I work on all the time.
Great tip. And I guess mine is like a two-part thing where unintentionally it does interrupt the autopilot. I wasn't even thinking like that, yeah. But I guess that's kind of the primary thing for this. I didn't come up with this by any means. It's just something that I use. And we want to, because we're talking about storytelling, so we literally just rewrite the story. And what I encourage people to do, because there's power to this, is actually take the time, get a journal, notebook, paper, doesn't really matter what you do to me, it could be a sticky note. And what we want to do is write out a new story. And so this can be a specific goal, that's typically how I do it, by the way. Some people do more of a life thing where they actually will fully write what do they want people to say about them at their funeral. And this is not an ego-promoting thing, that's not the point, right? It's like, this was the most handsome man in all the land, right? No. We definitely don't want to be doing something like that, but we want to be promoting positive things, right? Hey, you know, this was one of the most reliable friends that I had. Evan was one of the kindest people I ever met. He always had my back with type of stuff. He was an inspiration, right? Whatever it might be for you that you want to live by, that's not just fueling your ego. You know, it's something positive to make you live a better life. You could also write that story as well. I think it's much simpler for people and just kind of easy to conceptualize if we stick to just a goal. So let's try doing that first. And Maddie and I have been doing this. I have a goal I'm working on right now, right? It's like a financial type of thing. And I have other goals as well, but this is the hardest one for me to break normally. So I was like, all right, I really want to make this known. So I have a new story that I wrote down. What does life look like with this? What do the feelings that I experience have when I hit that goal, you know? So now you have the story and you want to make it as vivid as possible. Include all the senses in the story. I mean, you might not necessarily be able to taste a financial goal. Maybe you're eating steak dinner every night or something like that, right? Maybe. That'd be about it. But you could see certain things. The level of stress that you would have might go down. Maybe you can't pay your bills right now, you know? And if you got to a certain level, oh my gosh, it's just so amazing, this feeling to be able to pay bills on time every single time. Mm-hmm. I got 3 months worth of bills saved up. Like, I'm good to go. So you can picture the feelings and stuff like that. So we write down the story. And then this is the part I was talking about where I said, I think unintentionally, it's actually made to break the autopilot thing. So now that we have the story, this is what we want to do. We're also going to transfer it to a note card. So kind of a goal card is what we can call it. And put that in your pocket or something, or put it in your wallet. Ideally, I would say in your pocket, because you want it somewhere that your hand's going to hit it pretty often. And now what happens is every time that you hit that, if you have some time, pull it out, just read it real quick. We're not talking about a novel. It should only be a paragraph or two. So it's simple to read and you read it. And if you do that enough times, what's going to happen is if you're actually visualizing the thing, you don't need to read the whole thing every time. You'll put your hand in your pocket, you're going to touch that note card, and bam, it actually triggers this new story. Yeah. So you're breaking that autopilot. Another really good tip for this, and we have them all over the house right now, are these sticky notes. So put it on the mirror where you have to brush your teeth in the morning, right? Put it at your computer because you always sit down. And I don't even have the full story there. I literally just have the goal written out. It's really simple, right? But every time I see that now, because I'm forced to go to those places anyway, that's why we put the sticky notes in places we're forced to see. I've heard of some people putting stuff on the ceiling over their bed. So when they wake up, if they sleep on their back, the first thing that they see is this. Probably a really good idea, to be honest. I haven't gone that far, but it's probably a good idea. Every time now, that is triggering the reminder of that story in your head. So is this going to solve all your life's problems? If you've been through trauma, is that going to replace therapy because of the stories you're telling yourself? Obviously not, guys. But we want to do anything that we can to put positive stories in. This is a constant, it's like a seesaw, right? Yeah. Is the negative weighing down more or is the positive weighing down more? Mm-hmm. And the more we can weigh down with positive, I think that's a great thing. So a great way to start is a goal. And then once you see that working and you're like, wow, this is really cool, you can move it up to the next level. What do you want people to say about you one day at your funeral? How do you want to live your entire life? What's the type of person you want to be? And remember, it's all about getting a good story in, so you can change this whenever you want. Maybe I don't want to do that anymore. No problem. Write a new story. All good. But write one down, think about it, and that's an easy way to kind of override the negative ones.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big proponent of that as well. I always like to imagine it like we're planting little seeds of positivity in our head. I know for me, my refrigerator at home has like all these post-it notes on it, and I do it every day because I'm constantly walking by the fridge. I see it first thing in the morning when I get something to eat, when I go into bed too, all that stuff. So I see it all the time and it really makes a difference for me. And like we're saying, does this solve all my problems? No. Does it get rid of like certain serious issues? No. But what it does is it helps me to change my story. So that is so absolutely huge. And I think one of the other strategies that I will have for you real quick here would be as follows. I'm very big on learning to ask ourselves the right questions. I think a lot of times in life, we're always looking for the right answers. But if we're constantly looking for the right answers, a lot of times we're going to be let down and disappointed because for some things, there simply isn't an answer. Sometimes there might not be at that time. There might be a solution, but that doesn't mean it's an answer. And I think understanding the difference between that is huge. But rather than going down that road and getting lost in that, is this the right answer? Is it not? Let's focus on asking ourselves questions that are going to lead us to areas that are going to improve us. One question might be this. Okay, here's two. Here's a back-to-back, a two-for-one. Boo, here we go. Number one, what is the story that I'm telling myself right now? And think about that. What is the story that I'm telling myself right now? And don't do the whole mantra, well, you know, my story is that I had a great day, I made a lot of money, and man, come on, be real, be serious. Sit yourself down and say, what is the story that I am telling myself in this moment of my life right now? Is it a good one? Is it a bad one? That's for you, the listener, to figure out. So ask yourself that right now. After you find out what that answer is, let's follow up with another question. Here we go. That question is, what do I want my story to be? What do I want my story to be? And you see how all this is tying into what Evan and I have been talking about all day long, is learning to change that narrative. And maybe you write that on a post-it note like what Evan was saying. What is my story right now? What do I want it to be? Identify that. And then after you identify it, guess what? Let's put a plan into place on how we can make that happen. So if you say my story right now is that I'm somebody that just can never seem to get ahead in life, and what you want your story to be is I want to be somebody who views myself in a positive light and is happy when I see my reflection in the mirror. If that's what you want it to be, what are we going to do to make that happen? If it's like a physical sense thing, okay, I'm going to start going to the gym. I'm going to get a membership. If it's a career thing, okay, I'm going to put applications out and start trying to find a new job. Whatever it is, we got to have action steps too. This is stuff that we've been taught since we were kids, right? If your goal, you got to have action. It's the same thing. But I think if you ask yourself those two questions, what is my story right now? Then follow it up with what do I want my story to be? Then follow up with specific action steps you could take. You're going to really be putting yourself in a position to make some serious changes in your life. And that's what we all want.
Awesome. I would say one other tip that I have, probably have time for one more, is being careful about who we're surrounding ourselves with and what we're putting into our minds. And it's so funny how at this point in our show, we end up like connecting a lot of different ideas that we've shared before, right? And it's just like, it's a new topic, but we're the same principles matter, guys. It's not that we're broken records. It's just that certain things work. And if you are having these negative stories and you're listening to negative music all the time, which by the way, honestly, stop just going on autopilot. Listen to the radio, any station you want, for about an hour. What you'll find, generally speaking, is most of it is negative. It's kind of sad. It's about like, you know, getting high or someone cheated on someone or my heart was broken or whatever. It's like, dude, this is terrible. And if you don't think that that has an effect on your subconscious, man, wow, that's I feel sorry for you. You know, you really need to get out of that and stop doing that. One of the best times of my life in terms of how quickly a transformation was had is, you know, I'd gotten kicked out of school. I'm getting around these positive people and they kind of taught me about the whole personal development audio thing. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing, right? I didn't know that I could go on YouTube and type personal development in and listen to stuff like that. And I spent 2.5 months. I had a rule for myself. It was no music, nothing else. If I was driving in the car, personal development music. If I was at home, I wanted personal development music. You know what I mean? Like audios. I'd have that on at home as well. I did not do the TV thing. It was just that. Dude, it transformed me as a person in a matter of like 30 days. It was ridiculous because that's what I was filling my mind with. And my buddy Casey and I just hosted this retreat. And what happened was so funny because she beat me to it before I even said it. We were talking about like how to get certain goals in life and stuff like that. And this woman, Juliet, was there and she was singing a song. And then this other woman there, she was like, oh my God, is that Mac Miller or whatever? And she's like, yeah. It's like, wow, yeah, it is. I don't even listen to Mac Miller. I don't know where that's from. Bingo. That is a perfect example. She's singing a song, doesn't even listen to that artist, doesn't even know the song, and yet somehow she knows that melody and beat enough to sing along. So if music is meant to stick into our minds, right? Like that's what it does. And so we have to be careful. I'm not saying don't listen to music. I'm just saying, Maddie knows, we both do this. I'm really careful like in the car and stuff. Like I skip negative songs. I don't want to hear the song about someone cheating on someone. I don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. Have I been cheated on or cheated on someone? No, I don't want to hear it. You know, it's not good. It's just a bad vibrational thing. So I'm careful with that. Definitely getting around the right people too. I think there's probably no quicker way to transform the stories we're telling ourselves than the people we're hanging around. Because if we're engaging with them and they're positive people and they're at a better place, they're going to instantly help us. I know that from the experiences that I've had. Obviously, all of us have probably heard we're the product of the five people we spend the most time with. And not only is that just a cute little cliche thing, but it's actually true. We know that couples, if one person becomes obese, like the other spouse is like 67% more likely to become obese. If one starts smoking, I forget what the stats are on that, but that's also another thing, you know? Yeah. And guys, let's just call it what it is. And again, this is not a condescending thing because I'm not a millionaire, that's for sure. But do millionaires hang out with five people who make $50,000 a year? Or do they hang around other millionaires? Did Arnold Schwarzenegger hang around a bunch of people who ate McDonald's every day? Or did he hang around other bodybuilders? And this is not just because they want to hang around those people, I think. I'm sure that's an aspect. But it's because you can't really become those high things unless you are around people also like it. So we become who we spend the most time with, and I would be really careful about who we're spending the most time with because of that. Now, I know I'm passing it to you a little early, but I also know that you can throw it down pretty easily, so I think we're good, right? If you guys don't know, we always start with Ev, and we finish with Scotty P, so he's going to bring you up for the evening and the weekend, leaving you on a positive note, so you guys are ready to go. Scotty P, take it home.
All right, Ev, thank you, and thank you all the listeners so much for listening to us today. We appreciate it, and I just want to give you a couple things real, real quick here to take away from the show to take with you into your weekend as you begin this time. So what we talked about today was storytelling. And let's be honest, man, stories are a powerful thing. Stories are everywhere. They're in our music, they're in our minds, they're in our TV shows. But I think the most powerful ones are those ones that are in our minds that we tell ourselves. And we all have a story. Every single person on this earth, whoever's lived, ever will live, every single one of us has a story. But the thing that we have to remember is that we also have a story that we tell ourselves. And our actual story and that story that we tell ourselves are two different things. And we want to make sure that we're not allowing what other people say, what other people project on us, what other people may assume about us, be our story. It can be a part of us, but we can't let it be our story. So the fact of the matter is, everybody, is look, you're going to fill your mind with something. We talked about during the show today, we talked about how that's such a crucial thing to be mindful about what's going on, what you're listening to, what you're surrounding yourself with. You're going to fill your mind with something. That's just what we do. So we want to make sure we're filling it with the right things that are going to lead us on the right path. Now, just because we're filling our mind with the right things, that doesn't mean everything's going to work out okay all the time. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be great. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be issues and problems and challenges and trials in your life. No. And if you're thinking that, you're sadly mistaken. This life is hard. It's not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. But it's within that difficulty, within those trials, within that difficult time that we find out a lot about who we are. And when we find out about who we are, that's when we can really, truly help other people as well. But beginning on who we finding out who we are means we have to fill our minds with those right things to get ourselves in that right position and mindset. So I hope that's something everybody can really take from this show today. And I want everybody to know that, look, if you're telling yourself a story right now that maybe you don't want to, don't beat yourself up. Don't be like, oh man, this story's never going to change. It's such a process to try to beat it. How am I ever going to overcome it? No. Start with one simple step today. One little thing. One little post-it note on your mirror. One little change of the station on the radio. One little change of a friend group. Whatever it is, find one thing. Make the first step today in filling your mind with something positive and changing the narrative that you are saying to yourselves. So I want to thank you all so much for bringing us in today. We really appreciate it. So you're going to be able to find out where you can find me and Ev, because we are in prime speaking season. And if you're looking to book us, if you're looking to bring us to events and find out more about what we do, you can check us out. So Ev, where can everybody find you at?
They can find me at evantransu.com or at evan_transu on Instagram. How about you, Scotty P?
You can find me at scottypinspiration.com or you can find me on Instagram at scottyp_inspo.
And thank you so much for hanging out with us on this Friday evening and tuning into another episode of the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with Scotty P and Ev, where we are talking all things mental health all of the time, sharing lived experiences from individuals who have actually been through these challenges. Catch the replay anytime by searching for the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with Scotty P and Ev on any major podcast platform, and we'll see you next week right here on WWDB 860 AM and 97.5 FM HD2. Have a great and safe weekend.
See you, everybody.